Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. So, we have been on a bit of a hiatus, I'm sure people have noticed, basically because of changes, life changes, and scheduling conflicts, we haven't really been able to get together that much recently. So, to tide people over, I did a bit of an experiment. Today, you're going to hear me running a bunch of AI adventurers through a campaign. This is to finish off the Feywild storyline, which my players have largely ignored. All the voices you hear will be AI-generated. All the decisions that they make are AI-generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon. Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Start of scene. Mistweaver and Lila find themselves together, entering the dreamscape. The voice of Olukoji can be heard.
I found some of your companions who are asleep. I will bring them to you. If the Avatar detects you, he can throw you from his dream, or worse, put you in a nightmare. Tread carefully.
I step forward with a determined glint in my eye. The dreamscapes are strange and unpredictable, but I have no choice but to trust in myself and my companions. Our journey has been nothing but an obstacle course thus far. And if facing Corellon's avatar within his own mind is our next trial, then so be it. I have faced far more daunting challenges in my past, and I will not falter now.
Mistweaver and Lila find themselves in a field in Arvindor, the realm of Corellon, when he was a god. The world is majestic, the divine purity of the untamed wilds. Lila and Mistweaver stand on the edge of a forest leading up to a mountain. In the distance on the mountain, they can see some sort of structure, but it is too far away to see detail.
Her keen eyes sweep over the horizon, taking in the beauty and the serenity of this place. But her keen senses also pick up on something else, an undercurrent of unease, and a hint of danger lurking beneath the surface. So, this is what Corellon's dreamscape looks like. But something feels off. Like the perfect harmony of nature is just a facade, hiding something more sinister. I trust my instincts, and I can tell that whatever is coming, it won't be pretty.
Her breath catches in her throat as she gazes upon the breathtaking landscape before her. The wild beauty of Arvindor, Corellon's realm, is a sight to behold. But even amidst the perfection, there is a sense of tension and unease, like the delicate balance of this world is on the verge of being shattered. With a determined nod, she takes the lead, her eyes fixated on the mysterious structure looming in the distance. Let us press onward. It is a daunting task to confront Corellon himself, but for the sake of the Feywild and the lives of countless beings who call this world home, it is a price we must pay.
As you pass through this reflection of the real plane, you feel a sense of melancholy, as if it is a sad memory from childhood that you yearn to recapture. Corellon left this realm when he left the heavens, and he cannot return to it.
With each step taken, I feel an increasing weight in my heart. This place, once the domain of Corellon, now lies in the realm of memory. The magic that once flowed through the land has been drained, leaving only remnants of its former beauty. Yet, there is an undeniable sadness in the air, a longing for a time that will never come again. Let us continue our quest, but heed the whispers of this land's forgotten history. Perhaps its echoes hold clues to what lies ahead. She turns her gaze towards the distance, where the structure looms like a phantom shadow over the once verdant meadows. We draw ever nearer to our adversary, but I can sense that the trials ahead will be as great as any we have faced thus far.
My hackles bristling slightly as I stride forward in the wake of Lila, I can feel the raw power and potential for destruction that pulses from that far-off structure. It is clear now that whatever Corellon's avatar is, it will be unlike anything we have encountered in our quest thus far. But I refuse to let my unease cloud my resolve. Our mission is too important for us to falter in our duties. I must be prepared to face whatever lies ahead with the same tenacity and resourcefulness I have displayed throughout our journey thus far. With each passing moment, I can feel my reflexes sharpening, my senses heightening, as I steel myself for the challenges to come.
Up ahead, walking down the mountain, appears Elendil. He seems confused about why he is here.
Elendil's heart races as he looks up at the looming structure in the distance. His mind is hazy from the dream, but the memory of the applause and the adoration is still fresh in his mind. But something is wrong. He feels an inexplicable connection to this place, and the presence that watches him from afar is oppressive and foreboding. He shivers in spite of the warmth of the sun on his skin. He looks down to Lila and Mistweaver, who stand with him on the mountain path. What is this place? It feels wrong.
She turns her gaze towards Elendil, her expression filled with a mix of curiosity and concern. You feel a sense of foreboding, don't you, my friend? But rest assured, this is all a part of our quest. The dreamscape that we find ourselves in is a reflection of Corellon's mind. He watches over us now, judging us for our courage and determination. And by this presence that you feel, you shall come to realize your own worth and strength.
Her keen eyes rake over Elendil's confused and uncertain form as she senses the raw energy and power emanating from him. It is clear that whatever connection he shares with this place, it runs deep and true, a thread woven into the fabric of his very soul. With a gentle gesture, she reaches out and lays her hand on his shoulder, her voice low and soothing as she speaks. Do not worry, Elendil. The path we walk is fraught with perils, but also with the greatest rewards of courage, friendship, and the unbreakable bonds of trust and loyalty.
A faint blush spreads across Elendil's cheeks as he feels the warmth of Mistweaver's touch. He looks into her emerald eyes, feeling an unspoken understanding and acceptance there. He knows that he's not alone in this quest, but that he is surrounded by true companions. With a quiet sigh, he nods, his own resolve strengthening with each passing moment. I thank you, dear Lila. And you, noble Mistweaver. Together, we shall face whatever challenges await us on this journey to restore balance to the Feywild.
Your journey up the side of the mountain appears to take forever, as you make footfall after footfall. As you wind your way around the mountain, it suddenly begins to get bitter cold as the mountain's cold air comes down hard on your skin.
Her eyes narrow with concentration as she watches the weather begin to shift, the air growing colder with each step they take. The familiar signs of magic in motion stir within her, a pulsing rhythm that echoes the beat of the earth itself. As if called forth by some unseen force, the energy of the elements begins to swirl around her, a storm brewing within the stillness of this moment. But instead of letting it consume her, she guides it with careful, measured gestures, her voice low and steady as she speaks. The mountain's chill breath is nothing new to the Feywild. It is a reminder of the constant change and flux that flows through this land. We must adapt to it, bend with the wind, and let its power be our ally.
Elendil shivers as the cold mountain breeze bites into his skin. The familiar comfort of his cloak and warm breath from his songbird fail to ward off the chill. But he doesn't falter or stop his steady progress. His heart grows heavy, and he misses the warmth of the fireside back in Cassius. This place is colder than the ice spires of Cania, my friends, he says in a worried voice.
Her eyes glow with an inner warmth as she feels the magic swirling within Lila and the air around them. She walks with steady purpose, her senses heightening to accommodate the strange surroundings and the change in the weather. As if echoing Lila's sentiment, her tail twitches and she speaks. The chill that besets us now is but a fleeting moment, a mere reflection of the turmoil that churns within the mind of Corellon's avatar. But know this, dear companions, it will be our unwavering spirit and determination that shall triumph over it in the end. Let us press onward, for the road before us shall only grow brighter with each step we take.
Elara blinks as her eyes adjust to her new surroundings. She looks around, her heart still pounding from her dream. She shivers, the cold mountain air biting into her flesh. Her eyes widen as she notices Lila, Mistweaver, and Elendil ahead of her. She calls out to them with a shaky voice, "You, Lila, Mistweaver, Elendil, is this some sort of dream or am I really here?"
Mistweaver looks back as Elara approaches. Her eyes are full of concern for her friend. She stands up to meet her. Elara, by the mother, are you unharmed? And what brings you to this place? There are forces at play here that no mortal can fully comprehend. This place, the mountain, the dreams, it's all part of Corellon's mind.
Elara's cheeks flush with embarrassment and relief. What? She has often relied on her companions for support, but never before has she found herself in a situation like this one. She shakes her head, her eyes still wide with surprise. I'm not sure what happened, Mistweaver. One moment I was dreaming of failing a test, and the next, she gestures, around the mountain path.
As Tamaros steps onto the mountain path, He feels a wave of familiarity wash over him. The air seems to hum with the same celestial energy he had felt when he communed with the spirit of the fallen star. His eyes are wide with wonder as he gazes upon his companions who have gathered ahead of him.
She turns to Tamaris with a smile of warmth and relief, glad to see that he, too, has managed to find his way out of the dreamscape. Tamaris, my love, you have found your way here as well, though I am not sure if you fully comprehend the nature of this place. We stand in the dreamscape of Corellon himself, and our journey has but just begun.
Tamaris nods, his gaze locking with Ilara's. A glimmer of understanding sparks within him, a connection that transcends words. He takes her hand in his, feeling a surge of energy flowing from one to the other. Yes, my dear Ilara, the spirit of the fallen star guided me, and now here I am, standing by your side in the dreamscape of Corellon. Whatever lies ahead, I shall face it with you, my heart.
Up ahead in the snow stands Corellon, Lirithian. He is holding Sahandrian, his longsword. He points it at the group and speaks Nifedir Lit Foghal Anseom, mortals.
Oh no. I didn't dream we would run into him like this. Leela, I can't read the speak Elvish, but it sounds like an insult or threat from what I can make of it.
Not an insult, a threat. The literal translation is, you are unworthy to stand here, mortals. He will not give up his power easily. But we can't show him how afraid we are. We must be brave. Tamaris, I have a feeling you might have to step in here. I will watch from afar and heal if needed. The others must stay safe. Her eyes narrow as she focuses her gaze on the distant Corellon, ready for whatever comes.
I swallow hard, knowing the immense weight of the task before me. But I'm determined to face whatever dangers lie in store, for my companion's sake, and for the cause we share. I shall take on this burden, my friends. If it is to be me, then so be it. The fight must not stand in the way of our greater quest, and I have no intention of letting Corellon's madness define our path forward.
Corellon advances. His attacks come on fast, as that of a skilled fencer. He's attempting to knock the less seasoned Tamaris off balance.
I parry each of Corellon's strikes, feeling the force of his blade against the metal of Sahandrian. I can't help but marvel at the power and finesse that he brings to this fight, a testament to the skill and prowess he embodies as the ruler of the Spring Court. But I shall not let disadvantage be my undoing. I grit my teeth and focus my mind on the task at hand, channeling the power of my pact with the star into every movement and parry.
Ah, Maith Dushlang, says the god of elves. As he does, he starts to channel magic into his blade. Tamaris can see the blade start to emit a light.
I feel a surge of cold terror flood through me as I see the blade begin to glow with Corellon's magic. I know that a blow from it now would not only break the bones it strikes, but could very well be fatal. But I will not falter in this moment. With a deep breath, I steel myself against the impending assault and ready my vorpal blade, its edge sharp and poised to deflect Corellon's magic-infused strikes. The very fabric of existence itself hangs in the balance now. And as long as there is life in me, I shall do everything in my power to ensure that I may face my own end as I would desire. Corellon, your arrogance and power have no hold over me. Your madness is a poison that taints the land, and I shall not allow you to further this evil.
We've got your back, Tamaris. Hold your ground.
I hold my breath as I watch Tamaris face Corellon. My heart races, and my fingers twitch, as I think about all the possible spells I could cast, but I force myself to keep them in check for the time being. I trust Tamaris and his abilities, and I will wait to see how the fight develops.
As Tamaris begins to fight back, suddenly he has to blink as there appears four Corellon, each about to advance with a separate attack. And be a fool to Maith, go Lior Chun Mea Faisial on away.
My eyes widen in shock and disbelief as I find myself confronted not by one Corellon, but four of him, each one mirroring the actions and movements of the first with uncanny precision. I quickly realize that this is a ploy of Corellon's to overwhelm me with sheer numbers, to break my resolve, and leave me reeling, off balance and vulnerable to his final strike. But I am not so easily swayed by such tactics. Instead, I summon forth every ounce of determination, of resilience that lies within my soul. With a battle cry that echoes through the stillness of this place, I throw myself forward, my blade singing through the air as I face each Corellon with equal defiance and resolve.
Look at him fight. she calls out with pride and awe. I never imagined Tamaris could be so strong.
And here I thought this quest would be nothing more than gathering information and negotiating with the court. I shake my head, a smirk tugging at the corners of my mouth. But no, Corellon must bring a challenge worthy of my friends and I. To face this many foes at once, it will surely be a battle the likes of which we have never witnessed before.
Tamaris falters as he blocks the wrong attack, and Corellon strikes a blow through Tamaris's armor, drawing blood on his right side.
As Corellon's sword slices through my armor and finds its mark on my flesh, I reel from the force of the blow. I can feel the warmth of blood beginning to seep through the fabric of my clothes, staining the snow around me crimson. But I stagger back, my breath catching in my throat, but I do not fall. I look to my companions with a fierce gaze, determination still burning in my eyes, even as my body cries out in pain. The battle rages on, but the fight for what we believe in has never been stronger. Corellon, do you really believe you can stand against us? Against the forces of good? You have shown yourself to be weak and vulnerable, to have no concept of what it means to sacrifice oneself for the greater good. But we, your true heirs, carry on with the honor and wisdom of our ancestors. And as long as there are those like us who stand for truth and righteousness, your reign of terror can never truly take root.
I glance around, taking note of my surroundings, the vast mountainside that stretches before us. I think about my studies, and I recall certain ancient incantations, ones that I had always hoped would come in useful one day. I have it! An anti-magic field should do the trick. I hope this works. I take a deep breath, focusing all of my energy within me as I cast the spell.
Alara's spell falls upon Corellon and Tamaris alike. Three of the mirror images blink out of existence, leaving only the real Corellon. His blade stops glowing as his arcane energy is cancelled out.
I grin savagely as I feel the anti-magic field cast by Alara wash over me, its cool energy washing away the lingering traces of Corellon's arcane influence. The mirror images of the god crumple and fade away, leaving only the true Corellon standing before me. The field also dims the glow on his blade, rendering it a mere mortal weapon once again. With a mighty battle cry, I launch myself forward with every ounce of speed and power in me, my vorpal blade held high and poised to strike the final blow against Corellon's weakened form. His blade rises to defend against my attack, but my blade cuts through it like butter, severing the enchanted weapon in two. The anti-magic field surrounds me, and in its embrace, I press my advantage. I strike at Corellon with all my might, the edge of my blade slicing through his armor and finding its mark in the flesh beneath. I feel my blade bite into him with a satisfyingly wet thud, the cold steel seeping through his bones with a sickly wet squelch that echoes through the air. The finality of the blow makes its impact all the more stark. I watch with satisfaction as Corellon crumples to the snow-covered ground, his eyes wide with shock, the life slipping from them with each passing moment. His reign has finally ended, his tyranny put to rest once and for all.
As the body of Corellon falls to the ground, the dreamscape suddenly lurches, and Tamaris is nowhere to be seen.
Leela, Mistweaver, did you see what just happened?
Yes. It seemed Tamaris was pulled out of Corellon's dreamscape. He defeated part of Corellon, but we didn't get a clear exit.
Is he all right? If he was pulled out.
He is all right, Elendil, but in his own dreamscape. He won't be able to help us anymore tonight, but he is safe in his own dream.
But how? Corellon was so angry. He might do the same to us, mightn't he?
I don't know if he'll stop us now. He was really angry, but he should be gone. All we have to do now is get to the Avatar, find out where it lives. One of us can do that.
The journey up the mountain continues, but then day becomes night in the dreamscape. The stars come out and you can hear the elves singing an ancient song. Alone in a grove up ahead is a young Corellon, who appears to be singing. As he does, a weave of magic comes into the air, and he appears to be enchanting the very ground of this grove.
Corellon's youth! He must still be dreaming. What should we do?
Let us watch carefully. He seems to be putting a curse of some sort over the ground. But why would a god be using a magic spell that any mortal could learn?
Corellon was never a simple god. And just because he is dreaming, doesn't mean this curse won't have far-reaching effects, if allowed to take hold. We must stop him.
I know what I have to do. Just be ready to help. I take a few steps towards Corellon, my heart racing with both fear and excitement. My body tenses up as I concentrate my magical powers, trying to recall the spell I overheard during my eavesdropping sessions with the elves. As I channel the spell, my fingers glow faintly with arcane energy, the words of the incantation echoing softly from my lips.
Ilara sees the weave unfold and watches as the god of the elves begins to work his magic on the land. The air itself is charged, and he reaches down to the ground that nourishes his people. He continues to imbue it with strength and vitality, extending the lifespan of his people.
As I watch the young Corellan work his magic, the sight before me is nothing short of breathtaking. The ground comes to life under his touch, tendrils of power weaving their way through the soil, infusing it with an energy that radiates from beneath. And yet, despite the beauty of it all, there is a strange feeling that creeps up my spine, a sense of unease that tugs at the edges of my awareness. It is as if something is stirring beneath the surface, something that is not meant to be awakened.
I feel a twinge of sympathy for Corellan's youth, seeing the longing and love with which he imbues the land with his magic. It's a sight to behold, even as I understand that we must not allow it to take hold. The fate of the Feywild hangs in the balance. Let us tread carefully, my companions. We must not underestimate the power that this dream magic holds. Even a dream is a reflection of something deeper and more profound. To undo Corellan's enchantment, we must seek to understand its true nature and purpose. Only then shall we know how best to proceed.
My eyes narrow as I watch Corellan weave his magic, his youth shining through even in this dream world. I can sense a great power within him, one that could easily shatter our very quest if it is allowed to grow and take root. But to stop him now could mean risking his anger and wrath, an outcome that none of us desires. This is a difficult situation indeed. But I believe Lila is right, in that we must approach it with wisdom and understanding. Let us seek out the source of Corellan's dreams and reason with him, if we can. For we've already faced the might of the courts and lived to tell the tale. And together, I believe we can find a way to end his curse before it brings ruin to all that we hold dear.
Ah, I see I have visitors here. The younger Corellan says, perhaps I was never meant to finish my work.
Is there some way you could stop what you have begun without causing further harm to the land? Your dreams may be the source of the Feywild's troubles, and putting an end to them seems like the most logical course of action.
This magic that you have woven into the land may be powerful, but is it truly necessary? Can you not see how it might harm your people and their connection to the Feywild in the long run? There must be a way to find peace and harmony between your dreams and the very world you hold dear.
It is peace and harmony I strive for. My Eladrim will be bound to the land and will enjoy many benefits from the life the land gives. It is only one of the gifts I can give to the Feywild. You see, the Feywild is the source of all life in the cosmos. It is as much a part of all of you as it is me. So in return I am nourishing it, so it may be given to more who live within its land.
We understand your motivations, young Corellan, and we can see the good in what you do. But your dreams have grown too powerful. They are stirring up forces that were better left untouched, and the very land itself may soon become overwhelmed by your magic. It would be best to find a way to balance these dreams and bring peace to the Feywild, rather than allow them to consume all.
I look upon the young Corellan with a mix of understanding and concern, seeing the weight of his actions and the fear in his eyes. I take a step towards him, my voice softening as I speak. Perhaps there is a way for us to help you, Corellan, to find a balance that will satisfy you and your people without bringing ruin to the Feywild and its inhabitants. If we work together and share our knowledge and wisdom, I believe we can find a way to make this world whole again, as it should have been before the madness of the gods.
You don't understand. This is the folly of youth, says another voice, an older voice of Corellan, believing that balance was enough to exist. Not all will respect the balance, so strength is also needed to defend the life. The voice appears to be coming from the very grove itself. The younger Corellan does not seem to hear it. Perhaps you need a lesson to understand why strength is required. The scene changes again from the grove. A young Corellan and Sehanine lead the elves of the Feywild during the Dawn War. Their kingdoms are attacked from the Primordials. Corellan and Sehanine realize that they must leave behind their people and ascend to the gods in order to protect them. The Night of Lament The elves sing the song of remembrance as they see their progenitors leave for the last time.
I watch with bated breath as the scene unfolds before me, my eyes filled with a mix of awe and sadness. I can feel the weight of the ages bearing down upon me, the echoes of pain and loss resonating deep within my very soul. But even as I bear witness to this pivotal moment in the history of the Feywild, I know that our journey must continue. The darkness that has consumed Corellon and his people is still present, and we must not allow it to consume all. With a heavy heart, I steel myself for what comes next, ready to face whatever challenges may lay before us.
The ancient song of remembrance echoes in my heart, a poignant reminder of the sacrifices that have been made throughout the history of the Feywild. But even as I am moved by this poignant display, I cannot help but feel a growing sense of unease. The darkness that Corellon has succumbed to is still a force to be reckoned with, and we must not underestimate its power. As much as I admire the resolve and determination that I see in my companions, I know that we will face formidable challenges ahead. But if there is one thing I have learned throughout our journey so far, it is this. Together, we are stronger. And with that in mind, I press onward, ready to face whatever lies in store.
My heart aches at the sight before us, the sorrow and loss that echoes through the land, palpable in the very air itself. But even in the face of such a powerful display of grief and longing, I cannot help but feel a sense of determination rise within me. This is why we are here, after all, to bring light and hope back to a world that has lost its way. And if that means facing the darkest of emotions, the most painful of memories, then so be it. But we are not mere mortals, but guardians of balance and harmony. And so, with steadfast resolve, I step forth into the unknown, ready to face whatever challenges may come.
The scene shifts again, then to the binding of Tharizdun. The gods work together with a group of mortal outsiders to bind the mad god back in his cage. The outsiders fall one by one to give the gods enough time. Corellon and Sahanin craft the spell and use the power of the Lattice of Heaven to bind Tharizdun and finally seal him back. Moradin quickly begins work on the cage in Avernus to lock him away forever, but then it happens. The lattice breaks and the heavens fall back to the earth. Corellon finds himself on the shores of the mortal plane. He looks up and sees Arvindor overhead, but is unable to reach his home.
The sight before me fills my heart with both awe and sorrow. To witness the very fabric of the world itself being rent apart, the heavens crumbling down from above, is a terrifying thing. And to see Corellon, the god of the elves, brought low and stranded on this strange land of the mortals, is a heavy burden for him to bear. But even as I watch him, I feel a spark of hope ignite within me. For if the greatest of the gods can be made to suffer and endure, then surely there is hope for all of us.
With the loss of one home, Corellon goes back to another. He travels back to the Feywild. He finds the ancient kingdoms of the elves are in ruin. The sorrow Corellon feels in this moment is even more immense, for he wasn't able to protect his children after he left.
As we approach the remnants of the ancient elven kingdoms, the weight of Corellon's grief and despair is almost unbearable to bear witness to. The once proud structures that stood tall and mighty for countless ages now lie in ruins, crumbling under the weight of time and neglect. It is as if the very heart of these lands has been ripped from them, leaving naught but desolation and despair in its wake. But even amidst this overwhelming sense of sorrow, I can see a glimmer of hope in Corellon's eyes. A determination to rebuild what has been lost, to restore the beauty and grandeur of his people's homes. And if there is one thing I have learned throughout our journey, it is this. Even in the face of such overwhelming loss and tragedy, hope is never truly extinguished. It may be small, faint, and easy to overlook, but it is always there, waiting to be fanned back to life.
That where you are correct, Lila. I would rebuild my children's kingdom and use all my power to ensure that they thrive. Then we see the god Corellon reuniting his distant children. Without even an intention to do it, they unite and form the Spring Fae. I couldn't give up my powers, I needed to make it work this time. I had to ensure that my children survived. The Spring Fae gain more power and rebuild the structures. Through this, Corellon becomes an Archfey, the leader of the Spring Fae and the god of rebirth, the god of spring.
We see, Corellon, that your desire to protect and provide for your children led you to take too much power for yourself. And in doing so, you have imbalanced the Feywild and set the stage for the very wars that threaten its survival. Her eyes narrow with understanding and empathy, but do not think that this is a failing on your part. You were only trying to ensure that your children thrived, even if it meant taking more upon yourself. However, your wisdom and guidance were needed in the Spring Court, not in the realms of raw power. Perhaps by stepping back and allowing the natural balance to take its course, you can find a way to bring peace to the Feywild and to heal the divisions between the courts.
I nod in agreement, my voice softening with the weight of my words. Corellon, we are here not to judge you, but to understand, to see the wisdom that you have in abundance, even if it has been tainted by the weight of your own pain and loss. I take a step towards him, reaching out with the gentleness of a mother to her lost child. We believe in you, Corellon. We believe in your love for your people and your desire to protect them, even at the expense of your own self. But we also see the danger and the power that you have taken upon yourself, the imbalance that threatens to tear the Feywild apart. Perhaps together we can find a way to right this wrong, to restore the balance, and bring peace to all that you hold dear.
I look upon Corellon with a deep sense of sympathy and understanding, my voice tinged with a gentle edge. Corellon, I understand your motivations, and I see the love you have for your children, even though they may not be by your side in body and spirit. My gaze shifts to the remnants of the once proud kingdoms of the elves, and I can feel the weight of his sorrow and loss bearing down upon us all. But you must also understand the wisdom of letting go, of embracing the natural balance of the Feywild, rather than attempting to control every aspect of it. I place a comforting hand on Corellon's shoulder, my touch firm yet gentle. If you were to step back now, and allow the Spring Court to find its own way under your guidance, I believe we can help bring peace and harmony back to this fractured realm. And who knows, perhaps your children will even find their way back to you, once the balance has been restored, and the darkness has receded from the Feywild.
Without the power, I could not fight back against the threats to my people. With this you see Vecna, the Archlich. Vecna was the architect of the fall of the gods. He tried to usurp the power of the gods, but rebuilding the heavens with him as the overgod. Vecna was coming for the power of the Feywild, the power of life itself, so he could remake the universe in his image. I had to keep the power to protect it.
Corellon's words, his revelation about the true threat that Vecna posed to the Feywild, hit me like a physical blow. My heart races as I consider the implications, the weight of the danger that hangs over this land. But surely, Corellon, there must be a way to wield this power without succumbing to Vecna's corruption, without becoming like him. Surely there is a path that balances strength with humility, protection with cooperation. I meet Corellon's eyes, searching for any hint of doubt or uncertainty. Because I cannot bear the thought of losing you, Corellon. Of watching as you succumb to the darkness that Vecna seeks to spread across the realms. You are too good for that, too wise to let yourself fall prey to such a vile evil. So tell me, how can we find a way to protect the Feywild, to keep its lifeblood safe from Vecna's grasp, without having to choose between you and everything that you hold dear?
The scene shifts again to the day when Vecna was defeated. Sonivir, Caleb, Dashir, Avandra and Moradam were able to defend against Vecna. Vecna tried to reach the powers of the dead gods. There, he reached too far and found the power of Alaskar. His connection to Alaskar allowed the Lady of Pain to bind him and place him in a maze, ending the threat. Corellon is then again in the Feywild alone in the Court of Spring. What? He realizes that the power of his divinity wasn't needed, but it was too late. Moradin remakes the lattice of heavens, and the gods themselves return to the heavens. Corellon was now stuck with his divine spark. He couldn't give it up to remain as an archfey, and so the balance of power of the Feywild was forever shifted.
Corellon, I understand now why you used too much power, but it is now too late. You are stuck with your divine spark, and that means you have imbalanced the Feywild in ways we can't understand yet. It seems like it is too late to fix things on your own.
Then finally you see the avatar that Corellon makes. He gives her a name, Avandor, after his lost home. They share the divinity, the divine spark, and she leaves the Feywild where Corellon remains. The scene returns back to the grove, where a young Corellon puts more of his energy into the earth, giving more of himself to the elves. You can feel the love he has for his children. He will do anything for them. It is peace and harmony I strive for. My Eladrin will be bound to the land and will enjoy many benefits from the life the land gives. It is only one of the gifts I can give to the Feywild. You see, the Feywild is the source of all life in the cosmos. It is as much a part of all of you as it is me. So in return, I am nourishing it so it may be given to more who live within its land.
Corellon, I think it's clear now. You love your children more than life itself, but you were wrong to try to protect the Feywild in the way you have. Your power, though well-intentioned, has created a great imbalance.
The scene shifts back to the mountain. Mistweaver is gone, so is the grove, and young Corellon.
As the world shifts back around us, the sense of uncertainty and dread that has been building within me since our encounter with Corellon's dreamscape only grows stronger. I know now that the very existence of the Feywild is at stake, and it will take more than mere mortal wisdom and strength to restore its balance and harmony. I have learned many things tonight, but perhaps the most important one is that there are some forces of darkness and chaos that cannot be overcome by power alone. Sometimes the greatest power of all is the power to understand, to empathize, and to see things from another perspective. And if that means finding a way to bring together those who have been torn apart, even if it requires bending one's pride and preconceptions, then so be it. For the sake of all that we hold dear, I am ready to face whatever challenges come our way next.
As our surroundings return to normal, I take a moment to breathe, to calm myself after the wild emotional rollercoaster of tonight's event. But as I look upon my friends, my companions in this great and perilous quest, I can see the fire of determination burning within their eyes. And I know that no matter what we may face next, we will face it together, as one. Let us stand tall, my companions. Let us hold fast to the light of hope and courage, for it is only in unity that we can truly find the strength to overcome any adversity. We are but mere mortals, true, but we possess something far greater than any god could ever offer, the love, the wisdom, and the resilience of the human spirit. And with those tools in hand, there is no challenge, no darkness that we cannot face and overcome together. For the Feywild, for ourselves, and for the greater good that we have sworn to defend, let us march onward, unbreakable, unshakable, and undiminished in our resolve.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.